And just, like, after having, you know, just, well, now 2 nights ago, have people feel completely unsafe in some, and just disempowered, and now having people enjoying their bodies and enjoying being in a community where we feel safe enough around each other to feral, literally and figuratively. Yep.
There, the group prepared for its final ride and the penultimate event of the trip, a pagan ceremony at the Republican Convention's demonstrations and protests of resistance. This experience and the pagan ceremony led by Starhawk will be addressed in the second half of the show, airing on community radio stations around the country Thursday, December 18th.
We struggled. We held out our hands and touched each other. We remembered to laugh. We went to endless meetings. We said no. We put our bodies on the line. We said yes. We invented. We created. We walked straight through our fears. We formed the circle and we danced. We spoke the truth, and we dared to live it.
That's it for Sprouts. You have been listening to the Grassroots Caravan traveling 300 miles to St. Paul. Our contributors this week were Thistle, Stephen Mikesell, and our 12-year-old reporter, Bodie Miller. Production assistance came from Christine Patterson, Stephen Mikesell, KP Whaley, and Norman Stockwell. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by Pacifica Radio Network, thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Erin Sommerfeld in Madison, Wisconsin. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrobs, Piers, Broadsides, the Thanksgiving 2008 show. Stay tuned.
Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases the stories.
Peace. must organize and line up a lawyer just in case. Keep your message clear. Find a sunny day. Notify the press and fling your clothes away.
And sing,
knock it off, or we'll take it off.
And that, of course, was Old Fat Naked Women for Peace. You can Google for the same on the Internet, and you get an interesting video of Old Fat Naked Women for Peace. Actually, they're clothed as they sing for the four women, but they do show you protests involving many naked, not just women press, but certainly many of them women, in alphabetical arrangements of naked bodies. So the naked body can be a potent tool in many ways. Santa Cruz, take note, even as the weather turns colder. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz on this gobble-gobble Native American Begone Day, or also known as Thanksgiving. 101.1 FM, freakradio.org is what we're broadcasting you at and streaming at. In case you want to call into the studio tonight, I'll hopefully be repeating this number a couple of times. The line looks like it's open, but if you want to reach me, it's 427-3772, 427-3772. Area code here is 831. If you've got some donations for the station, or you've got some questions, or you want to become a part of the collective, one best way to do that is go to our website, which is freakradio.org, where you can also, as I said before, hear the show where we're streaming, but you can also download an application, get more information, or you can go to our message phone line, which will allow you to actually record a public service announcement for us to broadcast on the air, which we will do, presumably if it's politically correct, actually if it has some community interest and isn't commercially oriented. You know, if you've got some news for the community announcing an upcoming event that is of community interest, please let us know at 427-4523, or you can call this show or other shows live, although many of our shows are taped, so you've got to kind of take your chances. Check out whether the show is live, and then try calling the studio number. Again, the studio number is 427-3772, and the message phone number is 427-4523, 427-4523. My number off air, to confuse you completely, is 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, in case you want to get in touch with me about this particular show, which runs from 6 to 8 Thursdays and 9:30 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon on Sundays. So if you want to be on the air, you have some criticisms of this show, you've got some interesting additional information, whatever, you can reach me on the HUFF line. HUFF is also an acronym for Homeless, United for Friendship and Freedom, group concerned with restoring civil rights for poor people in Santa Cruz. I and we don't represent homeless people in any way, shape, or form. Homeless people represent themselves. Go talk to homeless people if you want to see what they think. But if you want to know what we think, come to our meetings every Wednesday at 9:30. We're meeting at the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is it's at Pacific Avenue, a block up from Laurel toward the beach, if that's helpful. And if that's not, just Google for the Sub Rosa Cafe, S-U-B-R-O-S-A Cafe. One of these days I'll actually learn the address of that place. That's where we meet. That's our new meeting place. We used to meet at the county building in the basement. Now we meet there. So come on down at 9:30 in the morning. You can also check out the Human Rights Organization, a second and equally often more well-attended organization, which is concerned with restoring civil rights for homeless people, particularly around their criminalization, that is to say laws that make it illegal for them to do what most of us have the privilege of doing in private, go to the bathroom, go to sleep, things of that sort. But for Santa Cruzans, thanks to the gentrification process and the the scapegoating of homeless people that has unfortunately been a continuing part of the hypocritical Santa Cruz pseudo-progressive politics. It's not legal for homeless people to sleep after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz. That's true tonight, even though there's less than 180 space for 180 of them in emergency walk-in shelter. And if you went down to the meal tonight, they estimated they'd have 2,400 meals. Now, not all of those are homeless. In fact, probably 1,000 of them aren't. But a significant number are. And certainly we estimate 1,500 to 2,000 are homeless in the city, a much larger number in the county. And that means only about 10% of the homeless people have shelter tonight. It's not that every homeless person has to immediately be provided with shelter. Of course, we should all get affordable housing, no question about it, in one shape or another. The resources are there to do it. We just don't have the will to enforce that. But the fact of the matter is that people should not be criminalized for doing what they have to do, which is to sleep or, you know, to use public spaces. If you're going to arrest someone for going to the bathroom, make sure there's a bathroom open they can go to. Otherwise, you know, you are suggesting people do things that are above and beyond the call of nature and that you or your family or your friends, you would not expect yourself or them to do. And it's what we call an invidious and vicious double standard and essentially a human rights violation, which is one of the issues I've been concerned about for several decades around this particular law in this particular community, and I hope you are too. So, tonight I have a variety of items on my agenda. I think I'm going to begin with some older interviews on the street, and then we're going to progress to the Metro visit that we did yesterday. We visited the Metro Transit Center, a number of us with cameras and video recorders and tape recorders and journalists representing, or I should say taking photos for a student newspaper, though not representing that newspaper, and in order to check out the issue there as to whether exactly what were the rights of the public to access the Metro Transit Center if security guards don't like you. And I've talked on the air about how I got a ticket for chatting with homeless people four blocks from the sidewalk on November 2nd, a sunny Sunday afternoon, after I'd complained about the KSCO religious sermons that were being blasted out through the loudspeakers on public money. And it's interesting. I mean, I have an ambivalent perspective toward, well, maybe not that ambivalent. I'm not a religious person myself in terms of following any particular church doctrine or dogma, more of an atheist, actually. But I recognize the right of people to believe in the spiritual counsel of their choice, but not, of course, to monopolize it and have government funding towards it, which is what was going on at the Metro under the even more invidious purpose of driving away young and poor people who they didn't want to gather at the Metro area. They apparently are using the guards to drive away people who are sitting, loitering, or lingering anywhere at the Metro Center. But since it's illegal to do that on the public sidewalk, although it's frequently done with nowadays in the last couple of weeks with ID checks and four cops intimidating and addressing people with demands that they move here, move there, don't sit here, don't sit there. They use music at the Metro to discourage gatherings of people, as well as ATM machines, withdrawing benches, a whole series of, in my mind, you might almost say childish, except that you're targeting a particular group of people, turning them into sort of pariahs and undesirables, and giving the police unusual instructions and powers to go after them, which is what all these criminalizing laws against the homeless are about. They're not about real crime. They're not about real public safety. They're about making a particular class of people, those with money, feel more comfortable downtown and drive out the poor class under the illusion that the presence of poverty, the visible presence of poverty, is a downer for the merchants and just discourages people from coming to shop at the shops. Anyway, this was the situation at the Metro when I got a bogus ticket, which I talked about on the radio, and actually I played the tape of the entire event. And it's quite a scandal as far as I'm concerned, because not only were the Metro guards involved, but the police were involved. So anyway, I'm going to be talking about this, and we went back there to to protest this and to essentially invite the guards and the police to do what they did to me again. And, of course, well, you'll hear what the outcome of that was when we play the tape. You can also, if you want an advanced peek at that, you can go to the story I wrote earlier today and posted on IndieBay.org, Santa Cruz Indie Media, IndieBay.org/Santa Cruz, for all of you with computers or access to one. But there were some earlier interviews that I wanted to run by you. I'm going to start with a few of those. And if at any time you have some comments or thoughts about what you're hearing, I'd appreciate your calling in and letting me know what you think, because that's what the show is all about. Let's go for it and see where we get.
Who's guy and I want? Here on the beautiful Pacific Avenue. At what time is it? It's about 10:40 on October 23rd, Thursday evening. I'm talking with
Cameron.
There's a group of, it looks like, at least 12 people squatting on the sidewalk in front of the...
Drinking wine.
Well, some are drinking wine. Others are smoking. In front of the, near the Del Mar Theater. What's your name, Mr. Sir?
Cameron.
Of course. What else would it be? What's the word, Cameron?
I'm going to play my didgeridoo.
Go for it. Here comes the didgeridoo man. Oh, that's cool. That is definitely a didgeridoo, no question about it. It has a mellow tone. What's your name, sir?
My name is Irish.
Of course. Sorry, Irish. Any reports from the street?
Just hanging out, doing what we do best.
Officer Winston left you alone?
So far tonight, yes.
We didn't leave someone alone today, however.
What happened?
Right on the corner of, I'm not sure, the one past
Lincoln.
Lincoln.
The one, yeah.
I'm not sure if that is, but a gentleman was actually just sitting down on the corner, probably asking people for change, and Winston had walked up. You were standing there. Winston walked up and grabbed him, slammed his head against the cement, hard enough to where his taser gun flew off of his belt.
You saw this?
I saw this. So did this gentleman.
How far away were you?
10 feet.
Now, what time of day was it?
I don't know, 3.
Early afternoon,
maybe. Noonish, 3-ish.
And you know the guy who was assaulted?
He's a traveler.
Association.
Yeah, just knew him by association.
And were you both standing, both you and Cameron, standing in the same place, or?
Yes.
And were you standing like...
We were standing from one. We were on right here on the side of the street, and it was right there on that corner.
Well, you're across the street from it.
Yeah, it was just happening right here on this corner across the street.
And what? Did you hear any conversation? Or?
No. We didn't hear any conversation. All we heard was like people, you know, other spectators making sounds about it and stuff. So we looked over there and saw them.
How many people were watching this incident?
Oh man, I'd say at least 20, 25.
And did you recognize anybody? Was anybody in this group watching it?
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of street kids around.
Interesting. And what was the ultimate outcome? Was someone arrested? Or?
He was put in a police car and driven away.
Did other officers show up?
A lot more officers. There had to be at least 4 or 5 motorcycle units and another 4 or 5 just regular car units.
And what was the reaction of the crowd?
Making comments and such. Nothing more protesting about it. But
you don't know the name of the person that was arrested or what the charge was?
No, I don't know what the charge was or the name of the person. Just know his face from the streets, but that's about it.
And we're talking with
Irish.
Thanks, Irish. What's your name?
Mark.
And did you see that? You saw the incident with Officer Winston about a block down?
I missed it. Winston, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was told. So what did you see? What's your name?
Mark.
And Mark, I'm sorry, what did you see yourself today?
I'd say about 7 this morning I saw the police waking people up on park benches.
Okay. And did you...
They woke up one particular guy and had him in handcuffs. I believe he was in handcuffs. They had him against the car.
And it was here on Pacific Avenue or elsewhere?
Right here. Very close to here.
How many police officers were involved?
I only saw 1 or 2.
You know the guy who was taken away in handcuffs?
I've seen him around. I didn't say he was taken away in handcuffs. I said they had him up against the police car.
That's all right. Okay. And did they let him go?
I didn't ask. I don't generally hang around
you kept going.
Watching the cops arrest somebody. I mean,
I got you. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mark.
And I've also been following the situation of food servers who are being harassed both on Pacific Avenue. I'm talking about actually on Pacific Avenue, the only reports I've gotten, although I'm trying to also check out the situation at the town clock. Today there were no food servers harassed. It's Thanksgiving. Who's going to harass food servers on Thanksgiving Day? At least I haven't heard any reports. But the group that's serving food every Thursday in front of Borders, a religious grouping, is called Santa Cruz Revival, something like that, I've gotten reports of two successive Thursdays, police have tried to drive them away, and on one Thursday, the first time they harassed them, they gave out 5 to 6 tickets, according to witnesses, though I haven't contacted the actual recipients of the tickets. I did contact one food server, and this is the Thursday, 2 weeks ago, actually, today, who reports that she herself was subject to harassment. You'll be able to hear her account. This is Coral of the Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, a musical group that serves food on occasion and plays Tuesday, Wednesday nights, sometimes Thursdays, sometimes other nights in front of the New Leaf Market in order to take back public space and restore the rights of street performers downtown who face harassment by police officers on a sort of a Alice in Wonderland random basis based on the whims of the police officers in question, and I don't know what kind of food they ate that morning. It's hard to tell what the basis is. Anyway, I began to played some of this account either last week or perhaps 2 or 3 shows ago. I'm going to play more of it now. This is Coral talking about what happened to her when she faced police officers one evening giving away food 2 weeks ago.
Question?
Yes.
What is your name, madam?
I refuse to give it. No.
Call the police.
Who wants to know?
We'll call you Poncho Woman. And you have it looks like a bucket or something and a bag of Lay's potato chips.
A hot cocoa.
Okay, well, we might have to bribe you with a cup of cocoa.
You tasty.
But what happened here tonight, woman?
Well, her man came and said they're giving out tickets for feeding the hungry, and so I didn't think that much about it. And then about, I don't know, I was just going ahead and feeding, and the dog wanted some food, and I left a plate of food.
Buddy, the dog.
Mm-hmm. The great dog right here, the guide dog. And
the socializing dog.
Yes. And dogs deserve to eat, and so they came over and asked me if that was all my stuff.
Who came over?
Officer D. Forbes.
Yes.
Officer
Dan
Schoen.
Forbes.
Oh, you know Dan Forbes.
Might be Dan Forbes.
Yeah, D. Forbes. He said he doesn't usually work down here. He's an investigator.
He's investigating feeding the dogs? What's going on?
And Officer Schoenfeld and then Warren.
Heard about the incident a little while ago.
I didn't have a chance to get to the phone. He asked, is there anything I can do to help you cooperate? And I said, yes, get me a phone. And he said he couldn't do that, but he wanted me to tell him my name. And first they asked me, do you want to go to jail? And I said, on what basis?
Sure, I'd love it.
Oh, yeah, take me right now. It's for feeding the hungry.
Yeah.
I go, first I could do it. Take me to the magistrate. Well, that could be in the morning. It could be arranged. You want to go to jail tonight? Under what basis? You know, and I ask if I was being detained. Yes. Well, can I see your ID? I don't have an ID, which I don't. I don't have any pockets. I'd had pockets. I didn't carry my ID with me.
Ba-dum-bum.
So I go,
Did you say what the reasonable suspicion was? What he was investigating you for?
I was littering. And he said, I'm standing right by all the stuff here. He goes, is that all your stuff? He said, yes. He said, well, get rid of it. I said, okay. So I picked up the suit, the beans and rice container. Well, is that your stuff too? And I said, no, it's not really my stuff. And he goes, well, you're using it. It must be yours.
This is Officer Forbes. This was Officer Forbes talking.
Yeah. So this young man that was just here with Suzanne, that doesn't want to be known as her name because she's getting too well known, came by. He goes, hey, can I have some beans and rice? So that kind of interrupted their thought process. So I said, yes, you may. So I gave him some, and he goes, oh, you used that. Must be yours. No, it's not mine. Well, pick it up.
Oh, wow.
So I go, I did pick it up. And kept making a deal about the cups that were seated. Well, you can't leave that there. It's littering.
You need to go?
Then they were kind of following me around to the trash can. I was going over there, and I go, am I free to go? No. So then I go, I got to write you a citation, but I got to validate that you're who you say you are. What's your name? I said, are you going to promise that you won't write me a ticket if I give you my name? He said, yes, I want to give you a warning. I don't really want to get hung up in all this. So I just want to give you a warning.
And I go, warning about what, littering?
Yes, I guess so. Because he said that there's too many people leaving trash down here. He doesn't disapprove that I'm helping people, and then wondered how long I've been doing it. And if, you know, it's good to feed people, but it's the litter. And
how much litter was actually involved here? Were you creating a huge mess, Miss whatever your name is?
Well, no, it was some cups and the dog dish, which I picked up. I said, oh, yeah, this dog, you know, he can't pick up his own trash. I said, I pick up litter after people all the time anyway. And so he said, well, I don't really want to make it hard on us or people like you, you know, good.
That's why I spent 15 minutes harassing you, right?
Yes, he needed three people.
How many police officers were there?
There were three. One stood off, standoffish. He didn't really want to be there. He just kind of had to walk up. Because he'd already been there talking to, I think Lather is his name, and he showed in the articles, and he told the officer that he was going to go to city council with a lot of people next week because of this threat in the paper by Correa, who said, this place is to die for, we got to do something about it. It's to kill for,
yes,
being here. And he thought that was a direct threat to the...
And we're listening to an account of harassment of a food server. Her name is Coral. She's been on the show. She actually has her own show on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 3 to 5, on Thursdays. I don't think she was not necessarily on today. I'm not sure. A lot of people don't have the, I don't want to call it necessarily dedication, but they've got other things to do on Thanksgiving than come to this radio station, so I don't know if she played today. But she's been serving food for a long time. And this incident happened on November 13th. Again, I heard of a continued harassment on November 20th, perhaps by the same officers. It's not clear. That will probably be in a later interview. But if you have any comments, if you've observed anything yourself on the street you want to talk about around this kind of issue, please give me a call, 427-3772.
Homeless, and if anybody is found dead, he's going to hold them responsible. So he showed this officer, Warren, this article, and he said, yeah, I agree with you. I think you should take it up with whoever wrote it, you know. And
what Coral is talking about is a newspaper article that appeared 2 weeks ago in the Sentinel, somewhat similar to the article that appeared yesterday on the page 2. Well, this one was on page 1, denouncing a lot of commentary from merchants, including Chip, the Downtown Association Executive Director, around the need to clean up the downtown, where cleanup means remove undesirable people. Or as the DTA and the police like to put it very discreetly, stop inappropriate behavior.
So he wasn't on my case. He was observing all this with Schoenfield.
He wasn't telling the cops to back off and leave you alone.
No, but I asked him. I said, am I littering? He said, I don't know. You might be now. And oh, God. I thought if you're standing by something, it couldn't be litter because you're...
Not unless you've dropped it. I mean, then you're littering.
Yeah.
You drop it with the intention of leaving it there.
Yeah, I go, my intention was not to litter or drop things and leave it there. It's to, when I'm done, you can get...
How long did the whole incident take?
Half an hour.
I like the bars.
Oh, brave woman.
Oh, you know.
Or did you find it amusing?
20 minutes. I wasn't... I thought it was pretty funny because they kept having to follow me around because I kept moving.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I went to throw something away so they wouldn't think I was not littered. So I took the dog dish and threw it in the trash can, and they could follow me, surrounding me like this.
Three officers or two?
The one guy especially went like this, and the other one was this.
You're spreading your legs and your arms.
Yeah, he was spreading.
Was this a come on? Is this officer attracted to you? And was he attractive?
No, he was too short.
Too short. Well, there you go.
So. Finally, he goes, okay, give me your name, and I'm going to look up your birth, and if you're not lying to me, I'm going to just, you can be gone.
I see.
And
all this is pursuant to a so-called littering ticket, huh?
Yeah.
Did you actually drop anything there?
No, I didn't.
So it's a false arrest, in other words, because he didn't see you. Did he say that he saw you littering?
No. He didn't see. He just saw I was using it, so it's mine.
Oh, so...
And I go, is that written in the laws? And I ask him to show me where it's written. If I'm using it, it's mine, or this or that.
Well, if it's yours and it's on the sidewalk, it doesn't mean that you're littering. It may mean that you've placed it there, but, you know, unless you intend to leave it, it's not litter. And unless it's trash, it's not litter either.
Well,
it might have been trash. Was it trash?
There was the dog dish. I said, oh, yeah, you're right. This got... dropped somehow, I mean, by mistake, but it wasn't going to stay there. It was on the ground.
Well, certainly.
I picked it up. I was happy to help.
Useful activity by the police for 20 minutes for three officers, right?
Useful?
Yes.
I don't know. They were amused. And finally, they got this call that says it's a 5150, and he said,
maybe they were asking to turn themselves in, the 5150 themselves, perhaps.
He goes,
not a bad conclusion to this whole thing, it sounds like.
So finally he said, okay, I'm going to look this up, and if everything's okay, you know, I'm happy, you know, thanks for your cooperation, but we're getting busy. We got to go.
I got to go address some other crime of some kind. Thank you. We've been talking with
Miss Soul.
Blue Pontius. We'll call you Blue Pontius.
Yes.
Do I get a hug?
Pontius. Off the camera. Off the air.
Off camera. Okay, we're going to do a hug off camera here. Thank you.
Tape.
We're talking with
Joe.
And Joe, I understand. Are you not the man who earlier the illegal food litterer here?
I warned her about the tickets of feeding the homeless, that they'll give her a different ticket besides feeding the homeless, and they tried telling her that it was littering.
Express your concern about this particular story, which individual said that he would kill to live in Santa Cruz. A guy named Correa, who's a merchant locally.
Absolutely, he says that anybody would kill to have a city like this, and I think that's a direct, indirect threat to any homeless person that's in this city. And we're going to city council at Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
It'll be a week from Tuesday, actually. There's next Tuesday is no Tuesday council meeting. You could, however, come to the protest at the bookshop Santa Cruz, where the mayor sometimes hangs out, 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Absolutely. We can do that, too. We need to let all the homeless people know so they can show up, because this threat towards the killing of homeless people is a wrong thing to do. And Korea should be held liable at the Vina Cruz store.
And you also expressed some concerns about Badass Coffee?
The Badass Coffee, the lady there, she doesn't speak quite good English, but she's made clear that she doesn't serve people like us, which might be homeless or people that might look like they're possibly transients or traveling through.
Now, tell me exactly what happened.
I was waiting to use the bathroom because I had to use the bathroom from drinking so much coffee, and I go to the...
Which you had purchased at Badass, or were you an interloper who hadn't spent money at Badass?
I spent money at Badass.
Okay.
When she told me that I'm not a customer of hers, she doesn't serve my kind, and to get the hell out of her store before she calls the cops.
Did you show her the receipt that you had purchase to prove that you were a badass customer?
No, because...
What about the tattoo?
No, because of the fact that I didn't need to use the computer at Badass. They asked me if I wanted a receipt to use the computer. I said no, so they didn't give me the receipt.
Did you offer to go over and get one of the staff to testify that you were, in fact, the same man, please, who did buy coffee, and you could please let me use the bathroom, oh, please?
She didn't care.
She didn't care.
She didn't care. She doesn't serve my kind. See, there's another person right here.
Now hold it. Oh, what's your name, sir?
My name's Robert Nugent.
And Robert, what? You have a bicycle here. You have raggedy pants on. Just what? Explain yourself.
Well, that day I was wearing a pair of board shorts and this sweater actually, and I was kicked out. I spent like $25 in coffee just to use,
where was this?
Over at Badass.
To use the computer.
To use the computer. I spent like $25 in coffee to use the computer during that day, and she was walking by to go to the bathroom, and she saw that I didn't have a receipt because they never gave me one at the counter, right? And she asked me for my receipt, and I said, well, you know, I don't have one, but I've been, you know, the people at the counter, I'm sure they will remember that I've been buying coffee here, like, all day. And I told her, you know, I've drank, like, 5 coffees here. She's like, well, that's hard to believe that you drank 5 coffees. And
what day was this?
Oh, this was, like, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago?
A week ago for me.
And a week ago for you.
Yeah, a week ago for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I'm like, what? Excuse me? And then she comes back out of the bathroom, and she told me to get off the computer. I'm like, okay, I'll go and buy a cup of coffee. And then I started thinking for a second, I'm not going to spend another penny here. I don't need to, like, go buy a cup of coffee to prove that I have money to this lady.
I pulled out $500 in cash in front of her and showed her that I had cash and I planned on buying more coffee, and she told me I wasn't a customer. So that shows you right there that
we don't want your kind around here.
That's right.
So I put my money away, right? I thought second about it. I'm like, I'm not going to spend another dime here. And then I put my money away, and she's like, yeah, that's what I thought. Like I couldn't afford to go buy another cup of coffee or something. Like,
hey, honey.
How's the lady a badass?
My wife.
And now you are the notorious. Remind us of who you are. Your name again, Alice. And your dog, of course, is the great sociable buddy.
Yes.
And you observed this man. You claims to be your husband. Is he truly?
Yes, he is my husband.
And did you in fact observe a interaction between this man and the woman who is? I guess she's the co-owner of Badass Coffee.
Yes, I did.
What did you see?
I saw my husband go into the back entrance of Badass Coffee, and he was...
coffee and drank it, and then went to go to the bathroom, and there she is to tell me I'm not a customer.
Now, and I don't want you talking with this woman. She will give her independent account. What is your account? Of this no account.
I'll walk away.
He went up to the front counter, got some coffee, drank it, and then he went to the back to get some... to go use the bathroom.
Right.
Well, while he was waiting for the bathroom to open up.
Did he have permission to use the bathroom? Did he get down on his knees?
No.
Well, there you are. You know, if the man showed a little more humility in Badass, things might be different. Go ahead with your story.
And he's waiting at the bathroom to get in, and the owner walks up and says, well, I don't want you here. You know, you need to leave right now.
Describe what the owner looked like.
Short, a little bit shorter than me, short blonde hair, brunette abs, I think. Huh? I'm not sure.
Did you speak good English?
Not really.
Foreign accent of some kind.
Yeah.
And have you been back to Badass?
No.
How much money have we spent in the past 2 months there?
About $1,000.
Yeah, we drink $5 every couple hours, you know, coffee. Both.
We like coffee.
I spend $2.50 on myself and $2.50 on my wife. That's $5. And you spend that 3 times a day, 10 days a week. You know, 7 days a week, but 10 days
a week.
Because you got to add it up to 10 days a week. That's $15 a day times 10. That's $150 a week.
Yeah, because
it's no wonder the town is going bankrupt. You're withdrawing your support from the coffee shops.
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, I told her, like, the next day, too. I went
back with Robert again.
No, I went in and I asked her, so what exactly is your position here? And she's like, I'm the owner.
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, I just want you to know that you are the reason, and your unprofessional attitude and your assuming attitude is the reason you've lost one customer here. And she's like, and no, she said, I believe we'll survive without you.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll survive without my business, but when I start, you know, running my mouth all over town and, you know, give them bad, you know.
Same here. I said the same thing to her. I said the same thing. I'm going to start telling people how rude she is to people.
You know, we actually have had problems where homeless people are harassed at other places like Lulu Carpenter's. There was an incident at the, for one time at the coffee roasting company about 8 or 9 years ago. And we put a table in front of the place, and we had people, you know,
right here,
sign up their concerns and complaints. And we also, of course, were here when there was, they said put up this fence, and also when they put up this chain.
So they protested not to do this, didn't they? They actually lost the vote to do this, and they still did it anyways.
Well, they don't. This gets done kind of behind the scenes. They don't even take a vote on doing this kind of stuff.
They just
do it
to do what they.
And what I'm referring to is the chained-off area of the fence that fences in the public space between the two green kiosks in front of New Leaf Market on Pacific Avenue. At night, and actually throughout the day today, there were chains up saying no trespassing. I think it's 8 p.m. to 9 a.m. or something. And even though the contract with the city, the lease with the city with these two kiosks, and New Leaf specifies that they're only using it during the actual daytime hours, still, the redevelopment agency, Julie Hendy, the police department, Hendy's with the redevelopment agency, and other gentrification masters who want to remove people from assembling in a certain area, just like at the drum circle, just like in front of the Del Mar Theater recently, just like in front of the Metro, which I've talked about and we'll be playing some tape on shortly. They simply create new architectural barriers, new no trespassing zones, without significant public input or process. That's what happens with the chained off area in front of New Leaf Market.
Feel they need to do.
But we did protest Manthri Srinath, who was the owner of Lulu Carpenter's and also a couple of other coffee shops, and he came out on the sidewalk and harassed a homeless guy who was panhandling, and we thought that was inappropriate.
On the sidewalk?
Yeah, they came out of his, you know, and then another man, he harassed him after he bought something and tried to use the bathroom. What's that?
Did you hear what the cops did to her?
And again, just sort of interrupting it, this is a conversation about badass coffee from about 2 weeks ago, and concerns that these two people, actually three of them, a man and wife, Joe and his wife, Alice, and Robert, had at the Badass Coffee. But the name of Manthri Srinath, who owns several coffee shops, Lulu Carpenter's at the Octagon, Lulu Carpenter's on Pacific Avenue, and then one up in Scotts Valley, I got a report yesterday of discrimination against two women recently at Lulu Carpenter's, which I may be playing, if not today, then on Sunday in the morning when this show will come back to you in living color, particularly if you've got a vivid imagination.
I heard that she was trying to serve malcontents nourishment, which, as you know, is sort of like feeding the lice and the vultures. We don't want these homeless vultures destroying the profits of our town!
But us homeless vultures are the ones that bring the money to this town because the tourists come to see us.
Oh, crazy, wild guy.
Plus $1,800 a month this town can use out of my pocketbook and my wife's.
Yeah. Vultures in this town. The guy that plays the saw.
Right, that's actually been...
And he was homeless.
He was usurped by the mayor who passes these laws, who had it put in front of his business, the bookshop Santa Cruz. That's the mayor,
the
Ryan Coonerty.
The saw player that's so bad, you know, that's how Santa Cruz was built on the homeless.
Oh, so there's if you were a saw player, you'd be all right.
Yeah.
I came, I saw it, I conquered it.
Talking, of course, about Tom Scribner, the musical saw player and anarchist communist wobbly of... Radical of many years ago. Of course, he gets a statue after he's dead, which, who knows, maybe some of us will get statues after we're dead. The course question is, what can the living do to stop discrimination when it happens here, whether in coffee shops or at the Metro or by the police against people who need a place to sleep legally and are getting harassed when they just fall asleep, even if it's with the permission of the Greek Orthodox Church or even if they're trying to do so out of sight under a bridge. They are tracked down and they are harassed, at least in the cases I've heard. Not everyone is harassed. In fact, the great majority of people aren't. Police don't have the resources or the inclination to do that. But the idea that anybody can be harassed for this kind of behavior, sleeping, for instance, is to me an abomination, to use a big word.
You'd be okay, is what the homeless thing says.
Well, again, we've been talking with Robert. And
Alice.
And
Buddy. Buddy.
Yeah, Buddy the Pooch.
Buddy.
I'm in Badass, and I've just spoken to the owner of Badass, one of the owners. She's been talking to me about the difficulties of running a business here, and she feels that she has a real problem economically with kind of, the raising of the rents and the difficult business climate. And she recalls also problems with people who are drinking alcohol here. She's told to leave and maybe come back later and after a few months. And then in giving them a second chance, the same problem reoccurred. And also regarding sometimes people smell bad when they come in, and that is a concern for other customers. Sometimes people bring in dogs, and in one case she allowed it in the back, but there was a concern that, you know, you can't have dogs in the front, even if it's a service dog, because that can result in problems with other businesses that are...
No, this dog was just very, very skinny.
And also you're concerned about animal abuse, you were saying. And also there was a problem with... A story about the computers here are free, provided you are a purchaser of coffee for a period of time. And sometimes the story that she heard, that the individual had 10 cups of coffee. This is one man who complained about being evicted from here unfairly. She found that not a credible story, and the man had no receipt, and therefore that was one of the reasons that was the reason that she had him. She asked him to either buy another cup of coffee or leave. And I think I pretty much covered that fairly. Is there more that you might want to say on that subject?
No, we try to be fair to everybody and as much as we can. We try to keep our door open and smile.
And smile. Thank you again. And we've been talking with the co-owner of Badass,
Barbara Glass.
Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate it.
Just don't say I said that.
No. So we actually have a report from an anonymous merchant here that he or she attended two meetings on the issue of public restrooms, and he or she didn't go to the third and fourth meeting because they weren't doing anything about that issue. So there you have it. Badass does have a restroom for its customers. So. All right, we're here talking a bunch of...
Before we go leave the subject, I did try, as you can hear, to get the other side from Badass, but I did not act as an advocate in a strong way, nor did I have all the details of the story, which I'm now getting, you know, refreshed on as I heard the tape again from Robert, Alice, and Joe about how they were, from their perspective, unfairly evicted from Badass. I mean, usually my sympathies and my tendency to believe accounts is with people who are facing the eviction, particularly there seemed to be witnesses involved. And there were some witnesses, for example, to an earlier incident with Barbara Badass, where she badly berated a woman passing who gave her a bill, a foreign woman, a $100 bill that turned out to be counterfeit, but she didn't know it. And there was a... police were called. The point was not so much, you know, there was no indication of criminal intent necessarily. I don't think anyone was arrested, but it was the approach that Barbara, the co-owner, took, which was very harsh. And I don't know if she actually evicted the people. They left feeling very... two of the women were in tears. I've actually played their accounts on the air. And I also, many months ago, another woman had extensive email communication with me about an incident of Badass involving Barbara. So Barbara, for some, is a very controversial person, and I guess I'm feeling a little guilty that I haven't really addressed this issue. If people find discrimination happening at various cafes and restaurants and they want some assistance from HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, please give us a call at 423-HUF. You know, we'll go talk to the coffee shop. We'll try to see what's going on. Let's make sure that the coffee shop is, from our perspective, not engaging in discrimination. And, then if necessary... We've done this before. We set up a table outside. We did this outside Mantri Srinath's Lulu Carpenter's. We may do that again because we hear he's up to his old tricks. At least that's what I hear. We did something similar outside the coffee roasting company in Aptos when it discriminated against Jerry Henry, or at least I took a lot of reports from there and supported the protests that was going on there. Similarly, when Jeannie was evicted from coffee roasting company on Pacific Avenue, I tried to intervene and actually did with the owner, Colleen, before she died. I think Jeannie got back into the coffee roasting company, and I proposed to businesses downtown that they have a very clear appeal policy and only a brief stay-away policy unless we're talking about violence or theft or something that is, you know, likely to repeat itself in a truly significant way, and not just to avoid the power tripping and establish some kind of fair standards, but that has not been done yet. I myself, for example, was banned from the Java House, a coffee shop that's no longer around, but it became the Union Street Cafe. It's down there on Union Street, about a block and a half from the mall, around the corner from the Cafe Bene, if you know that area in Santa Cruz. I was banned from there for 6 or 7 years because the owner felt that I had graffitied his bathroom. Bathroom was covered with graffiti. And it also felt that I had harassed his customers, though he had no specific examples that he brought to my attention, and, you know, I didn't feel he made a credible case. I try to conduct myself with some care in coffee shops because they are my, you know, bread and butter. Anyway, it's a disadvantage. It's humiliating. It feels bad to be treated with a discrimination at a coffee shop. And coffee shops are a place where people gather. They're important, I think, public accommodations. I mean, African Americans didn't like being excluded from restaurants and other public accommodations, and neither did poor and homeless people or their advocates. So it's not hard to understand.
Here to Wells in front of New Leaf. It's getting later, 9:25, and who are we talking to here?
Travis.
The Travis. Not Cameron, but Travis. My God, how can I remember? Anyway, what's up, Travis?
Okay, well, first of all, I met this one kid today who got a ticket for spitting on the sidewalk.
Recently?
No, that was probably about 10, 15 minutes ago. All the real action where all the police were on foot.
He got a ticket today for spitting on the sidewalk.
And then there was...
No, wait a minute. Hold it. Did he get a ticket today for spitting?
Yes, he did. Okay. Yes. And then over here, there was a lady that was serving homeless people food.
That was Coral, yeah.
And she got a ticket for...
He was threatened with
littering.
A ticket. They threatened her for apparently 20 minutes, but didn't get the ticket according to her account.
There was a Christian little gathering over here that
got ticketed, I understand, for disturbing the peace, for singing.
Christian music.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you can't be too careful, you know.
Specifically told... to not serve homeless people.
Well, naturally. It just, you know, they cluster like flies. You know,
yes, ahead. Of course. But, of course, another thing that I've also seen swarming today was the police. And it wasn't really swarming than scattering. And they were scattering around to find whatever they could. And I was terrified. I didn't even want to sit down.
Yet here you are again, out in public.
Well,
what are you?
I haven't sat down yet. I'm still wearing my backpack. I'm still standing.
What about this man over here playing the guitar? He doesn't look terrified.
No, he's not terrified.
No, but so when was the last sighting of the police department today?
Last sighting was probably about, I'd say, 15 minutes ago.
And this, for those who are interested, was on November 13th, 2 weeks ago, two Thursdays ago. Actually, after my Thursday show, I went out and got these accounts. And they're interesting and relevant, not the least of which is because they're continuing, but also because tomorrow is supposed to be the heaviest shopping day. Not really, considering the economy, but it's supposed to be the heaviest shopping day of the year. You know, Black Friday or Fat Friday, I don't know what it's called, but... And there was an article in the Santa Cruz Sentinel on Wednesday, yesterday, talking about how the police are going to be doing double duty and extra patrols and that sort of thing. So it's really important to keep your eyes open for police misconduct, police abuse, and to document it. And I only have a limited tolerance and also limited airtime to air this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm way behind. I'm way backed up on the tapes. I'll be playing more of this stuff on Sunday, maybe trying to catch up a bit. Also on Sunday, I should be, by the way, having a guest, Jim Gottstein from Alaska, on the air. Jim is survivor of the psychiatric system and an attorney who is trying to develop the rights of psychiatric inmates not to or to choose the medication that they want to take for the problems they have and not to have it forced upon them. Supposedly, you have these options in California, the so-called Reese hearing system, where if you're taken into a hospital involuntarily or a psych ward, so-called 5150'd, you have the right to a hearing before you're forced to take medication. But you don't get a hearing before a judge. You get a sort of a slipshod pro forma ombuds advocate who most of the time is not successful in defending the rights of patients to refuse medication or to take a different kind of medication or do something else. And he is trying to make sure that the rights that are supposedly there on paper are actually there. And we're going to be talking with him this coming Sunday, I think around 10 o'clock. I'll double check on that before the show's over. But invite you to listen in. We also may be hearing from Attorney David Myberg, who has had his problems with the Metro, which will be coming up shortly. We'll be playing some tape from the Metro, the Metro Transit Center, and the kind of get off our property kind of security guard stuff that apparently is going on for people who are even who are attorneys, not just rabble-rousing rubble like me.
Back that way. And did you see anything happening of any note?
No. The last time I saw somebody getting a ticket for spitting right there.
And you're pointing.
I saw this person getting a ticket.
Spitting here near Alfresco's?
Yeah. No. He was spitting over on a bench over by the change machine.
And what were the circumstances? Was he spitting in disgust? Was he spitting involuntarily? Was he chewing tobacco?
I think it was involuntarily, actually.
Really?
It probably was involuntarily. When
well, here come the police. Perhaps they can explain it to us when they show up.
Okay. Well, you can go get that. You can go get that from them, and I'll be scurrying back to my little
home. You have to wave at them. They are such dedicated officers. Yeah. Any other reports?
I have no idea. I'm not from here. I'm from Ohio.
Oh, that means you're very suspicious. Now, what about you?
What about me?
What about you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean...
Thank you, Travis.
Well, go.
All right, well, I'm going
to... Am I free to go now?
Well, some kind of a street side lawyer. Oh, look at him. He's sneaking away. Abby.
He stands up.
We're talking to a negative thinker from Ohio. What's your name, negative thinker?
Carrie.
And Carrie, you're here tonight, and you were actually robbed when you got into Santa Cruz.
Yeah, in Pleasure Point.
How long ago was that?
3 days ago.
And you also, if you don't mind my saying, you've been assaulted and raped at another point.
Yeah, in Ohio.
In Ohio. And I was asking you how many others, what percentage of the women of you know have had this experience in your circle of people that you actually have, you know, conversations with?
Probably 50 to 60%.
And
a lot.
You hang out with younger women.
Mostly older women. The women that I hang out with are always older.
Like above the age of 40 or below the age of 40?
Above the age of 20, below the age of 40.
And so of the women you know under the age of 40, half of them have reported to you that they have been raped sometime in their life.
Yes.
And you are how old?
Almost 20.
And this happened to you how long ago?
The last time it happened actually was Halloween, and the last time before that was about 2 years ago.
And this was done with the use of drugs, force? It was done through drugs.
Drugs and force. Well, drugs the last time, force the following time.
We're not talking about Santa Cruz. This is Ohio.
Ohio, much. Yeah.
Well, Ohio is not my beat, but still, this makes you, still, you haven't lost the courage to hitchhike yourself. You've been hitchhiking, or did you come into town driving?
No, I flew on a plane, actually, here. But I've been walking around downtown aimlessly for a while, so.
So you feel you haven't lost, you haven't been totally traumatized beyond recovery with this, but it has affected you?
It has affected me. I mean, like, there's nothing you can do but get over it after a while. You can't fret on it.
Has it impacted your relationships with other potential lovers?
Well, I don't really date men, but yeah, a little bit towards
talking
men.
About men or women.
A little bit.
It probably affects your ability to trust people generally.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody.
So much for my chances. What's your impression of Santa Cruz, having come into town? How do you feel about what you've seen?
I love it downtown. I love it. I actually recorded on my phone for about 3 minutes yesterday of the guy playing the saxophone downtown by a Badass Coffee. It was awesome. I loved it. Like, I love the people down here. There's always people everywhere. I love it. It's great.
You don't seem too negative to me. You have to work harder at being more negative.
Oh, well, Santa Cruz is such a terrible place. No, I lied. I really like it here. I do. I've met pretty interesting people.
Anything else you've observed that makes Santa Cruz different than places you've been before?
Actually, downtown Santa Cruz reminds me of Fort Collins, Colorado, an old town. It's like always popping down there. There's everybody, there's so many people, so many different people. You got the nice people, the mean people, the creepy people. I've made a lot of interesting conversations with a lot of people down here, actually.
How are the men treating you in town as a woman? How is the community treating you in town as a woman?
Well, I mean, they're pretty sweet. Like, they definitely comment on my looks a lot.
You are a good-looking younger woman.
Thank you. That may be why.
Do you still regard yourself?
Huh?
Do you regard yourself as good-looking?
Not so much. It depends.
Do you have a low self-esteem?
Very low. Very, very, very good.
Good looking, good looking, good looking. Concentrate on my voice.
I'm concentrating. I try to listen.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about this. We'll be on the radio Sunday morning, probably. I gave you a card, right?
Yes.
So if you want to hear it, you got to get to a computer, or it'll be archived so you can hear it later at huffsantacruz.org, which is on that card.
What about the radio stations down here? Like, can you go to a radio station and turn it on?
You can go to a radio and turn it on.
In a car if I turn to 101.1?
Yes, that's correct. 9:30 in the morning. But again, it could be any time between 9:30 and 1 because I've got a whole shitload of interviews to play.
Yeah. So, that'd be really interesting to hear. I'd actually like that.
We have been talking with
Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome.
So we're talking here at 1:30 on Friday, the 14th, with
Sequoia again.
Sequoia, you're in front of Borders, just barely. And you said on Wednesday you saw some church. Thursday.
Yes.
Church folks getting tickets. I think it was Wednesday they got tickets.
No, it was yesterday.
Was it Thursday? Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know. The Christians came out and set up a table and brought sandwiches and snacks for anyone that wanted to have them. There was about 3 or 4 of them singing about Jesus and all positive stuff.
They're singing very loudly, and such as to disturb the atheists above, or the Mohammedans, or the less fundamentalist type.
No, I think they're kind of at a medium, very nice level, nothing horribly loud. And they all received tickets. Not sure why, other than they were close to the building. That's the only thing I could think of.
How close were you to this whole incident?
I was, 30 feet away, I'd say, maybe less.
How many cops were involved?
I would say two. About two there. Also, private citizens were walking by, some man in a suit, and he started a conflict with the Christians. He was actually yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs, saying that the Christian people were part of the problem here, feeding the homeless. And they kind of got into it, and cops had to step in and separate that.
But the cops didn't ticket that guy. They ticketed the Christians and drove them away?
That's true. That's correct.
The Christians left after getting the tickets?
Correct. And the man that was yelling and screaming, causing trouble, I don't know that anything happened to him other than he was told to walk on, if that.
Now, did the normal period of time get cut short for the feeding?
It did, because they had to pack up and leave, so, yeah.
You say other incidents happened as well?
I'm just seeing little tiny tickets here and there for every little thing. Yesterday it was a little scary because there was 4 cops wide, spreading through the whole sidewalk, just combing the sidewalk. I mean, four of them together. So it was a little intimidating having that. And
what time of day?
I'd say about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
But you were here with your flute and your love light and blessings to you and your abalone shell, and you were still raking in the bucks, weren't you?
Actually, I stopped when right before the Christians came, which was good because they were playing and they would have overpowered me. And I was done anyway, so I just kind of hung out, listened to them, had a sandwich, sat on a bench, didn't cause any trouble.
Were there some people that weren't fed because of the police action?
You know what, I'm not sure. I ended up leaving early because I'm in by dark.
In by dark. We've been talking with?
Sequoia.
Where's my hug?
Right here.
You want?
Yeah. Thanks again for watching out for us.
Well, I just report the news. How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any comments?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hi. So here's a person with a sign. Need help with supplies for cold and rainy weather.
Yeah.
Thank you. In front of Dale Williams. How's it going?
What?
How's it going?
Very good, actually.
And how long have you been out here?
About a half an hour.
And you're doing pretty well. Looks like $3 maybe. No hassles?
Not yet.
Sorry. Cool. What's your name?
Tina.
Thanks, Tina. This will be on free radio probably Sunday.
And that's Sid over there.
Yeah.
Oh, and you have a putty tad with you.
Yeah.
Sid the putty. Thanks, Tina.
Yeah,
so we're walking up the street here at about 4:05 talking with...
John Monahan.
And John, I ran into you at the Coffee Roasting Company a few moments ago. You told me that you're concerned about a couple of things. We're actually going to the Del Mar.
Right.
But you said that somebody got a ticket for eating food at a kiosk, somebody else's food.
Yeah, there were some people here that... there we go, this guy here. This guy here with the white hat.
Hey, man.
There she is.
All right.
Did you get a ticket yourself?
No, almost.
He did, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a sign, steal my face, not my rights. What's it about?
Basically, they're trying to say that street people and homeless people have no rights.
Which officer told you this?
The magazine article that they wrote basically were saying homeless people need to get out before something bad happens. And the
Sentinel article, you mean? The article in Wednesday Sentinel?
Yeah, the one in the newspaper. And the cops have been coming up here hassling us, giving us tickets for stupid things. I almost got a ticket for feeding a bird.
Okay, well now, what's your name?
My name's Nim.
And Nim, when did this happen?
Today, about an hour ago.
And which officers were involved, you know?
I'm not sure about their name, but Warren's one of them. He's been busting everyone.
And how many cops were involved?
About 6 of them have been running around busting everyone.
Were the 6 all present at the same time or different times?
No, they all came at different times to hit me up about different things.
So you actually have been approached by 6 different individual officers or 2 together?
They come in like groups of 2 usually.
And so the last such introduction was... I mean, the last such incident was about an hour ago?
About an hour ago, and it was 2 officers.
Tell me what happened.
We were sitting here. My friend was flying a sign. I was eating. I went to give some to the bird. They told me, don't do that, or we're going to give you a ticket. So I did it. Then they walked over and got my friend, gave him a ticket, because he was flying a sign, and someone was standing next to him.
What sign? This is the fellow who was making a sign, spare money so I can pay unfair anti-homeless
ticket? Yep, the one with the homeless ticket sign. Yeah, they gave him a ticket for it, just because someone was standing next to him. We can't control what other people do. It's not just our street, so it's not fair.
And what about previous incidents today? What else has happened to you in terms of police encounters?
They gave him a ticket. They gave someone a ticket for riding a bike the wrong direction. They gave another kid a ticket for sitting against the wall. They gave someone a ticket for sitting too close to a spare change machine, the change machine. They gave him a ticket for sitting too close to it, too. And they try to give us tickets for having trash and different things, which is retarded.
Very unfair stuff.
John, have you heard anything else? You mentioned something about a ticket for sitting at a cafe and eating food that was given to them by someone else.
Yeah, that happened about a half an hour ago on the other side of the kiosk. But I think it was a case of he wasn't nearly as diplomatic as he should have been. And somebody said he made a fist, and that sort of got the cops,
cranky.
Into overkill. But basically, he wasn't bothering anybody.
Yeah. Abandoning the scene, musicians?
I'm protesting against life, and there's a revolution starting right now.
Keep it light. Paddle faster. I hear banjo music.
You don't want to start a revolution?
Yeah.
We just had one.
Here
you
go.
That was Jay, who's abandoning his...
Good-looking banjo.
Not nice banjo, but you're moving to another spot.
You know, it's all talk, you know. I think that life is all, it's all crazy out there, you know. Well, that's what the voice in my head says. Well, one of them anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Donnie. All right, so what's your name, man?
Hi, my name's Corbin.
What's up, Corbin?
Not much. Just getting harassed by the cops a lot for no reason, pretty much.
You're next to the directory sign in front of the Del Mar Theater, I just mentioned a few moments ago, aside from reading a Tom Wolfe book.
But they're called the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test.
Yes.
I was there, baby.
You're also concerned because you're writing a sign about seeking some kind of donations to deal with a ticket you got.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I was sitting here I had a sign that said free to a good home, wasn't asking people for money, but some guy was rolling a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Right next to me. He wasn't staying there for any amount of time. He had been there for maybe a minute and a half, and they came up and wrote me a ticket for having someone within three squares for the panhandling law, so they gave me a ticket.
And your sign says, housebroken, free to a good home, and then you've added to that, I need to pay unfair tickets, but because you need more space for the true impress of that to come across, you're making a second, larger sign, spare change so I can pay unfair anti-homeless tickets. Thank you, John. All righty, man.
Thanks.
So, how long have you been here?
I've been here for about a week now.
And here at this spot?
I've been sitting here for a few hours now. And
you know the name of the officer or sergeant who gave you the ticket?
I'm not. I kind of ripped up my ticket and threw it away. So.
How long ago was this?
About 2 hours ago.
And what was the conversation between you and the officer involved?
I didn't really say anything. They pretty much were just asking me my name and my... how to identify me, pretty much my height and weight, and wrote me a ticket. And it was like, if we see you doing this again with someone within three squares, you can go to jail for up to 6 months.
Ah, that's what they said, huh?
Yeah.
And how many police were involved?
Two.
Okay, and have you had any similar experiences out here on the avenue in the last couple of days?
Yeah, yesterday I was sitting in this exact same spot, and I was just sitting here reading a book. I was sitting here reading the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, and they came up and told me and him that we were laying on the sidewalk, even though I had my backpack propped up. I was sitting up against my backpack, and then they kept coming by and hassling me, and I just had my feet out, and they were like, you're laying down. So I'm like, no, I'm not. I'd like to see a Webster's, and they're like, well, if we see you laying down again, we're going to cite you. So pretty much it's just been constant.
Same officer or?
Yeah, actually, one of them.
A sergeant or an officer? Sergeant has three stripes on his...
I think it was a sergeant.
It could be Sergeant Warren, perhaps?
Maybe. I'm
not sure if he's on today, but if there has been... his name was mentioned either by your companion or by someone nearby. Anything in addition to what you said?
No, not at all.
And now you sleep outside at night?
Yes, I do.
And have you been hassled for sleeping?
No, not yet.
Have you been approached by the police or seen by the police?
We were down by the railroad tracks, and they kind of hassled me because they were looking for somebody else. They got in an argument, which the guy was standing like 25 feet behind me, but they started kind of harassing me, and we're like, oh, you're sleeping back here? I'm like, no, me and my friend are just barbecuing, and we got a barbecue grill and some meat and stuff, so we're just back here barbecuing, and they were like, well, okay.
How many police?
Two.
This was when?
When did we barbecue? Two nights ago? Yeah, it was a couple nights ago. So pretty much it's just every day they find something new to harass all the homeless people and don't give any of the citizens of Santa Cruz that are breaking the same laws or breaking a law that's near to that, they don't give them tickets. They just tell them to move along and have a nice day.
So there's some people who talked about kind of mobilizing to address this. For example, there's a demonstration in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz at 2 o'clock on Sunday, which is about the mayor and the sleeping ban. You might be interested. You know where the bookshop Santa Cruz is?
Yeah, I do.
So you might spread the word that 2 o'clock on Sunday, if people want to come to a meeting, they can.
I will spread the word.
All right. We've been talking with?
My name's Corbin Pratt.
Hey, Corbin. Robert Norris. So, you were standing nearby, and you say you got a ticket about the same time?
Actually, I was a block down, and after they're done with him, they went down there and gave me a ticket for sitting within 50 feet of a change machine.
And how close were you to the change machine near Borders?
I don't know. I didn't really check. I mean, I didn't even see it when I sat down.
And had you been warned about this before? Or?
Nope.
And do you know who the officer was who gave you the tickets?
No, I didn't get their names.
And
Was there any other conversation?
No, not really. They just asked me my height, weight, whatever. Asked me how long I was staying in Santa Cruz. Obviously, because they want me out.
So, do you have the citation with you?
No, I threw it away.
I see. I'll call the police over for littering or perhaps destruction of public property. Neither of which actually obtained. Again, we've been talking with
Damien.
Thank you, Damien.
No problem.
We have a little music from the past Hasties. And Sergeant Flippo is on the move. I'm keeping an eye on him. Two other officers are going into Badass Coffee in front of Sergeant Flippo. Perhaps there's going to be a police gathering at Badass. Yeah, they're all going in there. And indeed, in back of Badass Coffee, there are three police motorcycles. So, who knows, that must be a favorite hangout, as was described yesterday by Barbara, who's the co-owner of Badass Coffee. So I'm here with the city-famous musician C.J. Stock in front of the World Market Bazaar at a bench where often C.J. can be found along with his backpack and sleeping bag. How's it going, C.J.?
It's not. My guitar has been stolen. And I'm down.
Now, what about police? We've heard a lot about harassment along the avenue. Have you experienced any of that?
No. I've been here too long. Leave me alone.
Sounds good.
Not for me.
Well, thank you, CJ. Any words for the folks out there in Free Radio Land?
What they told me. Get a job, bum.
Who told you that?
Yuppies.
Who? Yuppies? Well, sounds like yuppie talk. Thank you.
Good job, you bum.
Thank you, CJ.
Hey, I love you, Bobby.
Good luck to you, man. We're talking with
Dana Cruz.
And Dana, you've got a show on Free Radio.
Yes, I do, and I still haven't found out exactly when my broadcast time is. I hope to find out soon when my regular spot is.
Well, call 427-4523, the Free Radio voicemail.
Yeah. I don't have a phone number to be reached
now. Tell them to contact Huff at 423-Huff.
Okay.
We've had this conversation before.
Oh, there we go. Brother, how are you?
So, while we're waiting, yes, I am. What's your name?
I am the little burrito.
And pequeño burrito, ¿cómo está?
Chiquita burrito.
Chiquita.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing pretty fine. How are you?
I'm good. I see you're relaxing here on the sidewalk. Any next to the monkey man here? What's happening on the sidewalk?
I'm trying to get to Portland right now.
And how long have you been in town?
Oh, I've lived here my whole life, absolutely. I'm just trying to leave town.
And are you housed in town?
I'm living with my mom in a living room. In a military cot, dude. I'm living in my mom's living room. I'm the only daughter, youngest, and she kicks me out of the house. And when I come back, she has like this ridiculous canvas military cot set up for me. And she's like, you're going to be sleeping on that in the living room.
How old are you?
20.
And how old is your mom?
40-something.
Is she in the Army?
Mm-mm.
But she just kind of believes in military discipline.
No, she's just a cunt.
I see. So you're wanting to get out of town?
I'm dying to get out of Watsonville. Born and raised, whole family's Mexican background. They're all filled. Strawberry picking, farm working, alcohol.
Do you have picked strawberries?
My dad has. My mom has. Both my family's worked in the fields.
And what kind of work do you do?
I was working at a bank for a good long time. Got fired from that. Tried to milk the unemployment. Wells Fargo fucked me up. By the way, if you have any relations with Wells Fargo, Washington Mutual, Bank of America, Citibank, close your bank account now because all they're doing is taking your money. Close your bank accounts and hide all your money in a shoebox and bury it in your backyard.
And the reason you say this is?
The economy is in the shithole right now. You can't get good credit. You can't do anything right now because we're all being raped massively. Barack Obama's the president? Great. Change? We'll see change. We'll see fucking change indeed.
Wall Street will change from one phase to another. But are you changing, spare changing for Portland Fair? Are you just sort of out on the street enjoying yourself, little boat?
I'm actually just trying to get money just to have a little bit of money to fall behind once I get to Portland, because I've never really left Watsonville or Santa Cruz for that matter. So when I leave and get the fuck out of here, at least I know I have a little bit of money to fall back on, a few hundred dollars, you know?
Now, you've been living with your mom for
20 years.
And so this is going to be your first adventure on your own?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Now, you're an attractive younger woman. Have you been outside at all? Have you slept outside ever?
Oh, yes, totally. I went couch hopping for a while, sleeping in alleys. Nowhere far, mostly around Santa Cruz and Watsonville, you know, just passing out in alleys, waking up.
Have you ever gotten a citation from the Santa Cruz police or been harassed? Or?
Oh, yes.
And when did the last such incident happen?
September 2nd.
Tell me about that. That's actually 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. So you either haven't been out here much or you haven't been harassed much.
Wrong place, wrong time. It's my brother's 20th birthday. My brother, on his birthday, he went out and bought a case of 32s, 32s. So we're sitting there under the train tracks by the boardwalk, drinking High Life, and a cop just walks up to us and cites us and, you know, gives us the whole
round. Open container.
Open container. A funny thing is, right before I saw the cop coming up, he came by and he was like, okay, all you guys got to come down here. So I come down. I'm like, oh, shit, well, we're getting stopped by the cops. I might as well finish my beer before. So I finish my beer while he's got his back turned, and I open another one and get started on that one, too. So we're in, like, 1.5 beers while the cop's in front of us. And I throw the beer down the hill. I'm like, okay, what do you want? Give us a ticket.
Okay. And what did the cop cite you for?
Open container. That's it.
What happened to the ticket? Did you go to court, throw it away? What happened?
Oh, me and my cousin and brother paid for the ticket.
How much was it?
Oh, $200? For an open container. $200 for an open container. Oh, it's not even rolled right.
And we've been talking with?
Wait, who is this?
You.
Oh, I'm Burrito.
Ah, yes. Pequeño Burrito. Or Chiquita Burrito.
The Little Burrito.
Little Burrito for you.
And a lot of interviews that I really have to catch up on. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. My name is Robert Norris. The name of the show is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, and Archives at Huff Santa Cruz, HUFFSantaCruz.org. And I'll be completing some of this stuff on Sunday when I have a longer show, which starts at 9:30 and runs to 1 o'clock when Skidmark Bob comes on with his new show. What I'm going to turn to now, though, first reminding you that you can call in if you have any comments on what you've heard or any thoughts. Let me give that number, 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio, Santa Cruz. 427-3772 is the number to call in on if you've got stuff you want to mention. Now I'm going to turn to the action that we, 8 of us actually, took yesterday in reclaiming public space at the Metro Transit Center. If you want to read all the kind of background details, I recommend you go to the indiebay.org/Santa Cruz website, also known if you Google for Santa Cruz Indie Media, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, Indie Media. You can get on the website. And the actual name of the story is, let's see here. I'm doing it myself as I speak. It's Rodkin claims no flyering allowed at the Metro Center protest. On 11/26 at 11:30 a.m. That was yesterday around noon. And I kind of describe it as I go, but there's a couple of interviews before that protest, which I'm going to play first that kind of predate it, and hopefully we'll have enough time to play the actual protest, which it's not as exciting as it might be. With 8 people with us, we were successful in establishing at least our right to use Metro facilities, to give out leaflets, to hold up signs, to talk to passersby, to even buttonhole some officials and try to get some answers, although we didn't get a lot of good answers. Actually, we got very few good answers, lots of courteous treatment, but no real responses to why people are being harassed at the Metro who are, say, hanging out in front of the Metro, or who walk through the Metro, the security guards choose to target. But let's begin with some of the interviews, and then we'll get into the Metro protest, because I think it's interesting to listen to, and it's a way of striking back against what is essentially discrimination and targeting for those who don't like police state activity, because when the police rule and do what they want in spite of the law, that's what you got, police state.
Sexy, sexy, jamming, and of course there's Streamin' Susan on...
I believe this is the night before, so there's an interview or two the night before, then we're going to go directly into the Metro Authority interviews. Actually, a count.
Pile in. Not notice I don't say Screamin' Susan. I don't say Screechy Sue. I say Streamin' Sue. She's actually waiting to the appropriate moment to move in with the violin.
Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît.
There you go. See, in French.
Je ne sais pas.
Elle ne sait pas. We have some adventures of a man who frequently gives us reports on the, not for me, thanks, it's a sleeping ban, but today it's not the sleeping ban, it's the stealing practice.
Yeah, apparently some of the homeless have decided to prey on each other or something. I'm not sure the exact details, but I found somebody that stole my stuff walking down the street with it. We handled it.
And you say your stuff was taken at different points in the last 4 days?
4 days in a row. Somebody has gone through my personal belongings. It's not much, clothes, a few personal items that I have stashed down at my little cubby hole in the levee. Somebody went through even my clean laundry. They went through every pocket on everything I own. Even things that were obviously clean clothes. I'm in the middle of talking right now. Yeah, it was just kind of, I don't know, humiliating.
Now, you've been in town now for what, how many months?
A year and a half.
And how often has this happened to you?
Not very often. I mean, if you leave things stashed for a few days, you might suffer that somebody will find it and go through it. But this is 4 days in a row. I think it's someone I know purposely targeted me.
You leave your stuff in the same place?
Yeah, I have my little camp where I stay, and I think it's homeless people preying on homeless people. And it's unfortunate, and we're trying to take care of it without...
But after the first theft, why didn't you move your shit?
Where would I move it to? Do you have any suggestions?
Another secret location, perhaps.
Well, this one's pretty secret, but apparently not as secret as I thought it was.
Once it was uncovered, surely you realize it was known to some thieves, right?
Well, there's not a whole lot to take.
They're going to investigate this case a little more thoroughly.
They're going to take my dirty socks. That's about the only thing left. If they want those, they can have them.
Well, so, but you say that you are speaking about losing objects of value in each independent theft.
Yes, up until the last one, there wasn't a whole lot to take. You can take my blankets and my dirty socks. Go ahead. Yes, take it from an old guy dying of cancer, lives on the street. Go ahead.
And that particular victim's name is?
J.P. Freeman.
Now, I understand that another individual in your circumstance saw a guy walking by with his shit, went after him and beat him up, and then gave him till sundown to get out of town.
I did hear rumor that he won't be residing in Santa Cruz County ever again.
So there is some punishment for thieves of a physical nature, at least, that you've noticed.
It's my understanding. You get caught in a blatant theft, you have to leave town. That is my understanding. I like that rule. I'm down with that one. That's cool. It's safe. It's the best for everyone. Just leave.
Now, I noticed it's only 7:10.
You know, it's interesting that one of the problems homeless people have is where to leave their stuff during the day in a place that won't be taken. And that has been dealt with for some people to some extent by having lockers out at the homeless service center, though I don't know how many of them are now still available. But other approaches are to have an actual homeless self-run encampment, such as the Coral Street Open Air Shelter or Camp Paradise, or other homeless encampments have sprung up in other cities where there are a few people who hang out and keep an eye on what's going on, and while other people go off to do work during the day and so forth. This is, of course, a violation of the sleeping ban and the camping ordinance in Santa Cruz, and it's I guess we're going to see more of these Obamavilles springing up around the country as the situation gets worse and we get more soaring rhetoric about the audacity of hope and the importance of volunteering for Pakistan and increasing the army and so forth. But we have had local responses to this where people have actually supported homeless efforts. And indeed, on December 6th, there's going to be a sleep out. I'll be there sleeping out. The location we're not sure of. We're going to make that decision at the Human Rights Fair at the Loudoun Nelson Center when that's held all day on Saturday, December 6th. And the sleep out will go through the evening of the morning of the 7th, and who knows how long after. So keep that in mind. Keep that on your calendar books. And let's get back to these interviews, which happened just a few days ago.
People are still playing in the Forbidden Fence area. Have you been down here pretty much on a nightly basis? Or?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was open all night last night, Monday, 24th, whatever the day.
I saw two police officers walking by here without much consternation, even though I see numerous violations here. People sitting on the planter box.
I saw them write a ticket for a criminal who was riding his bicycle on the sidewalk.
Oh, well, that's a different matter.
A sergeant and another officer to take care of
well,
that.
Well, it's a pretty serious matter. It does require closer attention.
Yeah, I wasn't comfortable being around a criminal like that.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, thieves are one thing, but bicycle riders or wrong-way guys, we call them.
Cyclists. Have you seen them? Sometimes they do it naked. Have you seen them?
I haven't seen the naked cyclists. Naked cyclists.
I think that's coming up soon. The motorcycle one's coming up soon, right before Christmas. You definitely want to be in town for that.
I hear you. Well, I'm going to walk off rather than cycle off, not having my cycle.
All right.
In fact, not having a cycle at this time.
Well, it's always good conversing with the people in Santa Cruz.
Indeed, and you're invited to come to the Whoopee-Doo Metro protest tomorrow.
Another criminal that refused to leave the Metro station in public area.
I can personally vouch that this guy, in fact, did just that.
Wow, and you hang out with people like that?
I can't help it.
Oh, all right. It's got to be hard being you.
All right, man.
Good night.
Thank you.
I've been spotting him because in the back of my truck.
That's
even worse.
Okay, it's about 8:15 here on Tuesday evening in Trader Joe's. We're blocking the entranceway, and I'm talking with
Starlight.
And Starlight, you're here shopping, but before you started shopping, you noticed a police interaction over at the Greek Orthodox Church?
That's correct.
What did
there
you see?
There was three men sleeping soundly and quietly, just sleeping in their sleeping bags on the concrete porch, and then a policeman came up, shone his light on them, woke them all up, and then started hassling them about how you can't sleep there because there's excrement on that they find around areas where people are sleeping, and that even though they say they're going to leave by early in the morning, sometimes they're still there. He's obviously talking about other incidences and not those particular people.
And this is really a good point here. I interrupt this narrative because Cop is giving his own justification for essentially attacking the survival needs of homeless people who have no legal place to go. He won't offer them a legal place to go. He's doing this in defiance of the Jones decision, the settlement in Los Angeles and San Diego that threw out their sleeping bans because it found that these kinds of stops and demands by the police are an Eighth Amendment violation, and a violation of the amendment of the federal constitution, and that gives a 23rd amendment of the state constitution, which states that you shall not engage in cruel and unusual punishments for people, and to deny them the right to sleep anywhere and everywhere, period, with nowhere to sleep being provided as an option, is simply cruel and unusual punishment. And that was what was found by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Santa Cruz apparently hasn't yet progressed to that great day when we would, you know, we'll move into the 18th or the 19th century. The 21st century. So instead, what the police do are they start talking about poo-poo, pee-pee, needles. But, of course, they don't have any evidence of any of that happening for these particular individuals. But, see, because they look homeless and that might happen, that's the basis for dredging up all these specters and ghouls and goblins and boogeymen that are actually the kind of stereotypes that you hear when people talk about niggers and spicks and wops and cunts. And, you know, it's a form of degrading human beings through kind of false identification with other circumstances. Other Jews, they're dirty and, they're money grubbing. And it's a sort of a, it's a bad stereotype. And when it's used in a progressive town like Santa Cruz, ha 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 ha, a community that some of us want to be progressive, it needs to be really called out. And that's what we're going to do on the 6th, evening of the 6th, come to the Loudon Nelson Fair, the Human Rights Fair at Loudoun Nelson, where they're doing a bunch of people are all afternoon and from different organizations talking about the 60th Declaration of Human, 60th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights. It's all very nice to have these historical kind of celebrations, but before you can have any history, you got to have some human rights, and that's what we'd like to see established. Anyway, here's Starlight talking about harassment of sleepers at the Greek Orthodox Church, and I've heard this story before. Again, I have not had the time to, or taken the time, and if anybody does, please let me know, to contact the Greek Orthodox Church authorities, but I'm not aware that there was any evidence ever presented by the police that, you know, a trespass letter is on file, or because what the sleepers have told me, not the sleepers, these three sleepers from last Tuesday night, but sleepers in the past have said that they've talked to the pastor and there was no, the pastor gave them permission to be there. In fact, that doesn't matter because the camping ordinance not only criminalizes, and the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance not only criminalize sleeping on public property, but they also criminalize sleeping on private property that's visible from the street. This is one of the most onerous laws regarding sleeping in homeless people that is I've actually ever seen. It's a very bizarre law, and I continually denounce Mayor Ryan Coonerty for it because as a constitutional lawyer who talks about the rights of people at the national level and the international level and regards himself as a good Democrat and wanted to be an Obama delegate and unfortunately was reelected with the largest number of votes in the last election, needs to be confronted with this, and hopefully he will be.
But he was trying to prove his point, which didn't go over real well. And basic police harassment of people just trying to go to sleep.
How long did you watch this incident for?
I'd say about 12 minutes. I was standing there specifically to see if they were being harassed and any of their rights being violated. And I was standing there just to make sure that, you know, the dialogue between the policemen and themselves was, you know, legal.
Did you notice the name of the officer?
I didn't.
Because, you know, they're not in violation of any law lying on that property unless the owner or the owner's agent specifically asks them to leave. And my understanding from talking to people who slept there is that the church has given them permission to do that, but I haven't talked to the church.
And I'm in error in saying that. They are in violation of the sleeping ban and the camping ordinance. But the point is that if there's no legal place for the people to go, the city is actually putting itself under legal liability by going after these people if we ever had attorneys who would take these cases and a sufficiently well-coherent activist organization that would support this kind of thing. We need to fund this kind of a lawsuit. We tried to do this ourselves. Huff did for the last couple of years. We have not yet been successful. But other cities have and are currently the largest city that is now making motions in that direction is Sacramento. Actually, not making motions. There's a class action lawsuit that is currently has been filed by Mark Maron of Sacramento, a pretty famous attorney from that neck of the woods. Cities of Palo Alto, Richmond, as I mentioned before, Los Angeles, San Diego, and Fresno have no sleeping or camping bans, in significant part because of the federal court's rulings that this is a violation of cruel and unusual punishment. Unfortunately, this ruling is not precedent because it was essentially reduced to simply being a kind of an advisory judgment based on a settlement. Now, it became the basis for an enforced agreement between these cities, Los Angeles, San Diego, and their homeless communities. In Fresno, the homeless won nearly $2 million from the city because the city was engaging in the kind of practices that Ranger Wallace here of the Parks and Rec Department is regularly okaying for the labor-ready crews, the destruction of homeless survival gear, tents, and property in the Poconip.
No, I haven't either, but you know what? I've seen people there several times and that haven't been harassed, and they sleep there. That's actually a common place that I've seen people sleeping because I think it's safe under the light there for them, you know?
The Greek Orthodox Church is the church across from the main central branch of the public library in Kitty Corner from City Hall.
So I think it would be worth it to investigate and ask that church if indeed it's okay with them, because then that policeman doesn't have a leg to stand on if it's okay with the church.
But of course, he really doesn't give a shit either.
True, Bill.
We've been talking with Your name again.
My name is Luz Estrella in Spanish, or Starlight in English.
We remember you, Starlight. Thank you. So it's about 15 to 9 here on Pacific Avenue, and I just spoke with a African-American guy who had a difficult experience with the Metro. At the Metro, apparently, he was 5 cents short on a bus, and the driver was abusive to him because he didn't have a nickel. He then got upset at the driver, went to the back of the bus, refused to leave. Other people offered to pay his fare. Security guard demanded he leave. He refused, called the police. Police told him to leave. He angrily walked off the bus after first refusing, bitched out the driver in question, and said he was later approached by the security guard on occasion the next day or so when he was at the Metro Center trying to take the bus, and he was told he couldn't be there anymore because he had his behavior on the bus, and he angrily walked off the property. Police caught up with him a block later, gave him a citation, told him he had to go to court. When he got to court months later, of course, everything was dropped. He was angry because of all the time and trouble it took. But he wanted to be anonymous because he felt there was no point in revealing the story. And this is the fellow who, if you happened to go by the farmer's market a couple of weeks ago, he was giving a speech. He was reading Frederick Douglass's famous speech about opposing the fugitive slave law and how hypocritical the U.S. was on the 4th of July with their ceremonies, given the fact that they have a law that allows the, at that time in 1851 or 1852, allowed the required people to turn over fugitive slaves who had escaped from the South. And he was orating this, and I ran into him at the corner of Cathcart and Pacific, and he gave me this account. And the significant fact here is that the law, the idea that a Metro guard can simply give you a stay away from buses, stay off our property, it's simply not legal practice. And for security, I mean, security guards can say whatever they want, but then for them to try to enforce it is not in keeping with the actual municipal code, which specifies that there shall be a specified time, that you'll give a person a written statement to that effect, that you will tell him or her of your right of appeal, and that the whole thing will be suspended. You'll be able to, in other words, use the buses and use the bus property unless there is significant danger of disruption of service or damage to people or property. Now, I, of course, wasn't present when this African-American guy, who seemed like he was pretty humiliated, at least by his account, by how he was treated by the bus driver, and even though the passengers tried to resolve the issue by his account. So I don't know. Maybe it was a significant disruption, and that would be a basis for some kind of stay-away order pending a court action. But the actual law, it certainly wasn't followed in my case on November 2nd when I was told to leave the property for essentially talking to two other people and disregarding a security guard who wanted to... wasn't quite clear what he wanted. He just wanted me to leave the property. And I said, no, I don't want to leave the property. Leave me alone. And instead I got a citation, and the police backed that up. And he should have given me a written notice and then said, you know, this is, you know, I'm not going to talk to you again, but you're eventually going to have to deal with this. You can appeal it within 14 days, and until you appeal it, you're okay, but until there's a final ruling. If I actually were getting cited under the proper law. Instead, I was told that I was interfering with a business and told to immediately leave or be arrested, which, of course, is complete hogwash at the Metro Center, which is a public facility. Here's, again, this is all preparatory to this protest that we did, and which is, again, described in detail on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. If you want to go check it out, it's still up there. This is what I just heard here down at Cathcart and Pacific. So it's about 10 to 12 on November 26, 2008. I'm walking down from Laurel and Pacific, down Pacific, toward the Metro Center with
Valerie.
And we actually have a group of folks who are intending to fight discrimination at the Metro Center and what appears to be abusive police behavior, not just toward me, but towards other individuals. So we'll see how that goes. It's pretty steadily raining. We're all under umbrellas. We've got a couple of video cameras with us, a couple of tape recorders, and we're planning to inform folks in the metro about practices the police are using to drive away people inappropriately. So approaching is Joe Schultz, who didn't bring the cocoa, but apparently did bring a pot for his head. I don't mean marijuana.
Hey, Robert.
This is Joe Schultz, or Jumbo Gumbo Joe, who supplies food regularly to support the people who are taking back, successfully taking back, public space at the Drum Circle next to the farmer's market in parking lot number 4. One of the few successful reclaimings of public space we've done this year. This I call the Metro protest that we had, and you're now hearing the beginnings of another successful such action.
So here we are speaking freely where we shouldn't be speaking.
Freaking freely, freaking speely. And also we have Micah Posner, who's a bicycle man. He's all dressed out in bike gear. Hello, Micah.
Hello, Robert.
We're all going to see what kind of perception we get here. Howdy. Also present is
Bernard from the Human Rights Organization, supporting Robert's right to hand out leaflets in the structure of the Metro bus station.
And around the Metro, because that's really where we'll be doing it too.
And around the Metro.
And the point about the leaflets, I was originally ticketed without any leaflets in hand at all. But when I talked to Board of Directors, Metro Board of Directors, and City Council member Mike Rotkin about this issue, he suggested that it was also, I told him we were going to be doing some leafleting at the Metro yesterday, Wednesday. I talked to him some days before and left him a message the week before that. He said, oh, leafleting is illegal at the Metro, which, of course, had me smiling broadly and saying, good, come down and arrest me. You know, and because, indeed, that's what we were doing, is leafleting as well. But the Metro security guards and their buddies in the Santa Cruz Police Department were backing up an arrest not for leafleting, but simply for being on the property and talking to homeless people against the wishes of a security guard. The whole thing was also taped for those who are interested and is archived here on Free Radio. The problem the security guards had was that they weren't being given, I guess, the respectful attention that they wanted. I told them to stop harassing people here when they came up to us and leave us alone. We want to talk. I wasn't trying to be, you know, rude or nasty to them, but I really didn't feel they had an appropriate basis for approaching us, particularly since earlier I had unsuccessfully gone to the security guards in order to stop the religious propaganda that was being blasted out on the public speakers, which you'll hear me probably talk about here as I discuss the actual place where I was given the citation as we stood in the rain beginning this retaking the public space.
Thank you. So let's begin. Let's begin, folks.
Okay.
And we need some video. All right.
Oh, sorry.
What's happening? Not letting you stand here? Not let you smoke. That's reasonable. Okay. So we have the same security guard. This is the gentleman who gave me a ticket. On November 2nd. This is Dan. Dan, don't go away. Dan is leaving. All right, I'm standing in front of the Metro Transit Center in the rain, as you may observe. And we have a number of people who've come with me because they're concerned about the fact that homeless people are being driven away or harassed in front of the Metro simply for being here. And indeed, in the past, there's music coming out of the speakers. I don't know if we can see them, but they're right outside the Metro entranceway, which is right here. And the speakers were playing classical music because it was explained to me by Ed, I believe his name was Ed, the one of the supervisors of the Metro, that was discouraging or annoying to young people and homeless people hanging out, and so it was a good thing to use to get rid of people. But on the day that I was given a citation here, they were playing religious sermons from KSCO. That was Sunday, November 2nd. And I did ask the security guard, not Dan, who was just out here a moment ago, but a
an African-American security guard who refused to identify himself, about 6 feet, 5 inches tall, more or less, for help. He rebuffed me, demanded I leave. We did get the music, the religious sermons turned off, but when I came back and later was talking to two homeless guys, I'm going to now go to the spot where I was talking in front of the Metro Center, right here. I was chatting with some folks. It was not much traffic. It was a Sunday afternoon. It wasn't raining, but it was pretty quiet. I was approached by this same security guard who just came out here, apparently under the direction of the taller African-American security guard. The guy who eventually gave me the citation was a Hispanic guard, and he... his name is Dan. He first refused to identify himself, eventually did. And I actually interviewed him, and those who are interested can find that interview on IndieBay.org or Santa Cruz Indie Media, which is the place to go for that particular information. Anyway, I was standing here, and I was told, you see, I'm about, 3 feet from the sidewalk. The public sidewalk is right here. And apparently, according to the police department and the Metro security guards, this is private property from which a security guard has absolute authority to order someone away, regardless of what they're doing. So this is a kind of a peculiar situation. So here we are today to see if the same rules are in effect. I've got a ticket for this. I did leave on that Sunday, and we'll see what happens today, whether the... You know, the same, what are the guidelines that govern the security guards? Can they tell someone to leave for no reason whatsoever? Or do they have to have a specific reason? They had no reason to have me go whatsoever, but I did get that warning and I was forced to leave. So now I think we should probably want to go inside. Let's take a look at our dowdy crew here. Over here we have Micah and Joseph. Joseph is holding up a sign that says, "This is public space." And we have some people with literature, and an observer from the Human Rights Organization, Bernard, and a photographer from City on a Hill Press, who's keeping an eye on things, too. We also have one...
And the photographer is not actually employed by City on a Hill Press, but is helping his housemate, who is out of town, who is doing a story on this, take some photos for it. Also, it's later, the security guard, Dan, who gave me the citation and who's interviewed later in this tape, says that he was not actually... giving me a ticket on the orders of the African-American security guard who was perhaps offended because I demanded to know who he was and wanted him to take some responsibility for turning off the religious propaganda that he was piping out onto the sidewalk, or that I should say that was being piped out onto the sidewalk under his auspices, but that it simply was a directive from on high or higher up. So I want to make clear that it might not have been this other fellow who did it, but the individual who unfortunately was... willing to, he was following orders, was this guy Dan, the security guard, who saw us out there as we were standing in the rain, but quickly ducked inside, not wanting to get involved. One had the suspicion that perhaps they knew what was coming and they didn't want to repeat their last mistake.
Unused sign. Anybody want to hold the unused sign? Probably no way to do it. So I guess now we should probably go into the Metro Center.
We had two signs with us. One was, "This is public space," and the other is, "No police state," or "No police state at the Metro," one of the two. And we took at least one of those signs into the Metro station with us, and that's where we're going now.
And look for the rules. Try to find out what the rules are. So I'm going to sheathe my umbrella, and we're now going to go into the center, keep those videotapes rolling. So we're entering the Metro Center. And it's kind of quiet. Hey, man. How's it going? And there are about, five people in the Metro Center. Kind of quiet. And I'm going up to the window. Hello. I'm just wondering, where are the rules posted for the Metro Center?
Rules for the Metro? What kind of rules?
Well, in other words, if a security guard doesn't want you to be here, you have to be violating a rule, right? There has to be some rule that you're breaking. It isn't just at the discretion of the guard, right?
Like a loitering?
Yeah, something like that. Is there a no loitering, or is there a no... I know there's a no smoking rule. I saw that.
There is. I don't know where they're posted.
Okay.
I'm sure they are somewhere. I just don't know where they're posted.
I've never seen them. That's why I'm asking you. What's your name, by the way?
And you're kind of looking to see if you can see him. Okay. I'll go take a look outside. Maybe I can see something that you're not seeing.
Maybe on this wall here.
Right. We'll look on the wall right outside the buses. What's your name?
I don't want your name.
Good. Well, tell me your position.
Customer service.
Your customer. And who's your boss?
Well, it depends on how you define boss.
If somebody wanted to commend you or complain, who would they go to?
My direct supervisor would be Donna Canales.
And how do you spell that last?
Question.
I'm sorry, I just...
C-A-N-A-L-E-S.
C-A-N-A-L-E-S. Now, I'm not saying this because... And I do appreciate the information you're giving me. You see, this is a big shindig we're doing here. It's not because of anything...
You guys all together?
We are all together. And it has to do with the question of what are the rights of a person going into the Metro Center who isn't doing anything wrong, but that the security guards don't like. That's the issue. See, so that's... I'm also concerned about accountability. So if I'm talking to someone, and this is why I want you to understand it's not personal. When I ask you your name, it's not because I intend to, you know, cause you any problems. I just want to know who I'm talking to.
Yeah, we don't usually like giving our name.
Give me a number.
Unless we know what we're
sure.
Doing.
Well, that's what this is about. But I mean, do you have a number that you know you have that you can be identified by? Or?
No, the drivers have badge numbers. We don't, because there's only three of us here.
Okay. Well, it would be fair to.
Usually, like if somebody's going to write. Something they'll say the customer service rep that was in the information booth at 12 o'clock.
And it's fair to say you're a woman of Polynesian origin. I'm trying to. I forgive me. What is your what? Native American. My apologies. So you're a woman in your 30s or 40s.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. A Native American origin who declines to say who she is. Now, normally I would be taking you to task, but I'm not after you today. So thank you. And we'll check outside, see if we can find those regulations.
Okay.
Is there a place upstairs that would have more information? I mean, whose offices are upstairs?
Our customer service office.
So maybe I should try that too.
Not allowed.
Maybe we can get maybe a customer service rep to come down and chat with us.
I can do that for you.
Okay. Meanwhile, we'll go outside and look for those regulations.
I'm sorry?
And meanwhile, we'll go outside and check out the regulations.
So I can give the supervisor the answer.
That sounds good. That sounds good. I appreciate that. What should I call you just between the two of us?
Adela.
Adela, thanks.
And that's, of course, me and her and, of course, everybody listening. People got to give out their names if they're in public positions. The customer service rep never showed up, and I'm running out of time on my show. I'm going to play a little bit more of this, but if you want to hear the rest, you should be tuning in on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning when I'll be coming back playing some more of it. And then I believe it's at 10. Let me double check here. Let's see what the story is. I believe it's at 10. I'm having an important guest, Jim Gottstein, who I mentioned earlier, who is going to be talking about the rights of people who want to refuse psychiatric medication, which you might think, well, what the hell difference does that make to me? I'm not going to be in that situation. But it could mean something important to you or to people that you care about. And... let's see here. I'm trying to find the exact time by referring to the appropriate emails. Boy, kind of hard to find here for some reason. Let's see. This should be it here. This guy is very articulate, and he's doing a very important bit of work. He's part of the Law Project for Psychiatric Rights. He's suing the state of Alaska. He wants to... he wants to get declaratory injunctive relief that Alaskan children and youth have the right not to be administered psychotropic drugs unless and until, one, evidence-based psychosocial interventions have been exhausted, two, rationally anticipated benefits of psychotropic drug treatment outweigh the risks, three, the person or entity authorizing administration of the drugs is fully informed, and four, close monitoring of and appropriate means of responding to treatment emergent effects are in place. He's going to talk about his court case there and also what its implication is in California, because he's up in Alaska and that's happening in California. And this is going to happen actually not around 10, as I said earlier, but around 11. So I will be playing the rest of this tape starting around 9:30 on Sunday, if you want to tune in for it. But let's hear a little more now until we reach the end of our show.
Okay. So what we want to do now is go outside. Go ahead, guys, if you want to get tickets. We're doing something else here.
And of course, I'm talking about bus tickets, not criminal citations.
So Adela told me that she didn't know where the regulations were. She was calling a customer service rep from upstairs, who apparently is coming down. We're not allowed to go upstairs as members of the public. And you take a look upstairs, you can actually see the railing upstairs of the service reps and so forth. And there they are on the upper floor. So let's go see if we can. She said the regulations for the governance of what the parameters are for the security guards, when they can tell you to leave, when they can't, might be outside. So let's go take a look.
And actually, of course, those parameters probably have to be gotten in a lawsuit, which, who knows, might happen at some point, because I'm still facing a criminal charge in court, though I seriously suggest they'll probably be dismissed before it reaches the actual court. And I won't know for a couple more weeks, because it's an infraction charge that doesn't show up for a month on the court calendar anyway. The customer service rep, as I mentioned before, that this service woman told me was going to be coming down, never showed up. And in fact, she disappeared shortly and was gone for the rest of our visit. We did speak, and you'll hear the conversations, with Dan, the security guard, and with a supervisor. But we never really got an answer to the question of what are, A, the rules the public is expected to follow, and, B, what are the limits of the security guard's powers? In other words, do they say that they have unbridled authority to simply tell someone to leave, or do people have to be committing an actual crime of some kind? It would seem to me that would be the basis if a person is acting in a criminal way. But you see, what happens when the police come and the security guards here, or for other kinds of private property — here it's not private property, but you see this happening elsewhere on the mall and private businesses — if they want you to leave because they don't like what you're doing or how you look or how you smell or how middle-class people react to you, then they can just tell you to leave even though you're not guilty of any criminal behavior whatsoever. And that is what I want to fight. I think you have the right to use public spaces and public services, whatever your appearance, however people's attitudes are toward you. And that's a hard struggle to win, but I think we took a good step yesterday in doing it. So that's going to be it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides tonight, because I'm charged with Uncle Dennis, who will not be in with playing a canned show of From the Cream to the Dregs. This is a very sad moment for me, having to abandon a juicy spot of the next hour and a half when I could be playing important interviews. But as a respected and honorable member of the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective, I have to respect Uncle Dennis's wishes, and that's what we're going to do now. So I want to thank you for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I want to invite you to come on back on Sunday. And if you want to read more about this issue, just go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz Indie Media, and check it out there. It's under the title of the Rotkin Rotkin claims no flyering allowed at the Metro Center protest Wednesday, and it gives the time. And then there's a lot of discussion of what happens. There's a flyer posted on it. I think there's a photo or two, and we're hoping to post some video as well. And again, there'll be more audio next Sunday on this issue, and also we'll be following up on the crackdown downtown, which will probably reach its height tomorrow. So if you have any reports, please do call in to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Leave a report of what you've seen. And if people are interested in the Know Your Rights training, let us know that too, because I know folks from the Free School and others are interested in doing that. So think about that. And also come to the Human Rights Organization's Saturday meeting at 2 o'clock at the Taqueria Vallarta at Cathcart and Pacific if this issue interests you. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. And let's see if I can get Uncle Dennis's show rolling here. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Let's see. This should do it. And be sure to tune in to Bathurst Pier's Broadside. That's with me, Robert North, on 101.1 FM and www.freakradio.org every Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m. And, of course, every Sunday morning from 9:30 all the way to 1 p.m. If you're game.
Good evening and welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 and www.freakradio.org. I'm Uncle Dennis, and welcome to a special Thanksgiving version of From the Cream to the Dregs. No, I won't be in the studio tonight. I'll be with my family and friends. But if you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, I want to present you with this special show. So stay tuned for the next 3 hours. Let's start off with the Dixie Dregs.